Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Watching the NFC Championship on Fox.
When you sit down at the drawing board to design a championship team, you must study all the angles, anticipate the variables, and assemble the right components. The Vikings have designed a soaring high-rise offense built with flexible steel, a fast-track, elegant structure reaching to the heavens, mixed with a well-grounded attack carried out with machine-like precision that can excite and inspire. The New York Giants are a football factory cemented in the tradition of yesteryear, a foundation based on a steel-fisted defense rising up from blocks of granite, and an offense rooted with a sturdy ground game. Both teams have drafted their blueprints for success, for the winner, Super Bowl 35, awaits.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Bleeding Blue 2000 NFC Championship game today. This is a show about the history of the New York Football Giants. My name is Justin Penick, alongside one of my best friends in the world, Nikki Snacks.
That's me.
How are you?
Really good. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, are you good?
Eh.
You lying?
Always. I'm always bad. I'm miserable. I'm an angry fuck.
He's lying. Today, 2000 NFC Championship game. First episode of this offseason. That's exactly what we're talking about. You saw the intro.
You did.
Intro of the broadcast, Fox broadcast.
Rest in peace, John Madden.
Yes, yes, rest in peace, John Madden. Boom. That's also partially why I wanted to do this game. Now, it was 2000 NFC Championship game. That was decided before John Madden passed.
Correct, it was.
But one of the benefits of doing this game is now we get to relive. There's actually a John Madden point about, he talks about throwing the ball, which
we're going to get into that.
But, so Snacks, origin of your Giants fandom.
Origin.
It starts at this game.
Essentially, yeah. This season.
Tell me about it.
So, well, when I came out the womb, I was blue.
Sure.
Except my hair. That was red.
Mm-hmm.
That hadn't changed. I didn't really have hair when I came out.
It was black.
When I came out of my mother. No. Funny story. Real quick. Side note. I did have, like, red hair when I came out.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor brought the baby, which was me, to my mom. And my mom goes, that's not my son.
Your father thought it was the mailman?
Well, not even that. My mom didn't think it was her son.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had like shade. Maybe they were lying to me. I have no idea. Whatever. Because that doesn't seem right that a baby had like hair on him. But whatever. I actually think that's like a physical impossibility. But whatever. She said, no, that's not my son. Anyway. But yeah, so 2000 is really where my fandom took off, and I remember this season extensively, and I was, 7 years old?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I went to the NFC Championship game in 2000, the one we were about to talk to.
Was that your first game?
No, I went to another game during the year. I think it was the Cowboy game I went to.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think my dad got tickets through the company he was working for, and we went. And it was as deafening of an experience as as a young kid could ever imagine. And from there, as you guys know me, I am a sadistic, psychotic human being. And I blame the 41-0 Giants over the Vikings 2000 NFC Championship game for it.
It set a bar.
Yeah, it set a big bar.
That could not be reached.
Yeah, and then two weeks later, I'm crying in my grandpa's arms because we get blown out by the Ravens, which shouldn't have happened. That game is still under protest because Ray Lewis is a murderer. But anyway.
We don't talk about bad things on this.
No, you're right, you're right. This is the good times.
We don't talk about bad things.
Yeah, so
atmosphere of the game. Crazy. LT, Harry Carson are out there. You know, kind of like but when they did the introductions for the Giants and like guys run out of the tunnel. They don't do that anymore.
Yeah,
but
which is dumb.
LT and Harry Carson are out there. And then they're not just out there like pregame.
They're there for a coin
toss. You see LT after a good defensive stop, like on the sideline. He's like clapping it up on the sideline. He's like there.
Yeah, he was like coaching these guys up. He was like a cheerleader on the sideline, like slapping these guys on the ass and pumping them up. They were out there for the coin toss too.
Yeah.
Which
that's naturally like
yeah.
LT just, Harry just Carson being a part of the pregame stuff.
Right.
Them being out there for the coin toss, great.
But them being on the sideline? Yeah. And they were like just as pumped as the players were. Yeah. It was just overall such a very cool experience. And what cracks me up the most, I just want to get this out of the way real quick. So the final score, as everybody knows, was 41-0. And the Vikings were -1. They were a 1-point favorite in this game. They didn't cover, obviously. You know what the over-under was?
Oh, this should be fun.
41.5.
It's pretty low.
Well, very low. 2,000, yeah.
Yeah. But even for, I mean, the Vikings. Like,
the Vikings offense, yeah, but the Giants weren't known as a powerhouse offense.
No, but you should automatically think that going into a game that those Vikings teams will put up 27 points, 24 points.
Yes, but the funny thing that I got from it was that it's 41.5, and the Giants scored 41 on their own, and they shut the Vikings out.
Right.
So if you had an over ticket, you felt like such a loser.
What was?
You are a loser.
It was 41.5?
41.5, yeah.
It was 41.
So it's under by half a point. And I don't think there was a touchdown, a score in the fourth quarter.
No, and is that we're going to get to this. Is that a critique that you have?
We'll get to that.
We'll get to that. Okay. So that's pregame. Atmosphere is awesome.
Yeah, the parking lot, everything was great. Because obviously, you know, this is where I get my tailgating roots from. That we went early. We grilled. My dad had some friends there. It was very cool. And everybody was just... The whole parking lot was just screaming and yelling the whole time. It was cold. It was frigid. I wasn't able to drink then.
I will say, wasn't that windy. And they talked about that numerous times on the broadcast.
Yes, correct. It was not that windy, but you always, in the parking lot of the Meadowlands,
it's always worse than.
No matter what, it could be 100 degrees in September on week one, the home opener, and there'll still be some wind somehow, some way.
Old Giants Stadium is windier than MetLife,
yes.
which is just a fact.
Well, that's also Jimmy Hoffa's remains just circling around the building.
But the parking lot is always windier than the actual stadium.
Yes, always. It's an open land in the swamps of Jersey, literally. True. So,
all right, the approach of the game. John Fox, now this is in our Ernie Paladino book, If These Walls Could Talk, which I forgot. I'm a fraud. I'm a bad guy.
You suck.
I wanted to have it right here because even though we're not specifically talking about it, I love to just have it out.
Yeah.
Because it's like a book that like started the show.
It is. That's true.
Really. So we read that book like in the offseason of 2019, If These Walls Could Talk. And one of the stories that comes from that book is John Fox had a dream, defense coordinator for the Giants. He had a dream that they shut out the Vikings. And Ernie Accorsi was shitting himself about how nervous he was for this game. And I think John Fox goes up to Ernie Accorsi. He says, they're not going to score a single point. Ernie Accorsi is like, you're fucking crazy.
Yeah. remember, this Vikings offense was ridiculous.
Yes.
Culpepper had a career year. He had Randy Moss, Chris Carter.
Yeah.
Who was the running back? Smith. Ron Smith.
Running back was a little hurt. He did not have a very good game. But
none of them had a good game.
No. None of them did. And John Madden was actually ripping apart the Vikings offense a little bit about how some guys just don't run routes, and that was apparent. But this Giants defense did have a very good effort. And
in fairness, that game was over after like the first 5 minutes.
And Sean Payton. Peyton, off coordinator for the Giants. What a crew.
I was just going to say, what a staff.
What a crew.
You had two Super Bowl winners.
Yeah.
And that's it. John Fox with our good friend Animals Broncos and Sean Payton with the overrated Saints. So
the Air Force attack. That was the coinage. Air Force attack. Sean Payton, Kerry Collins, they talked about it. It's kind of crazy how they talked about it all week, saying that we are going to throw the ball.
Yeah.
And then they just did. Because they threw the ball.
The Giants were a running football team.
Yeah.
And let's get right into it because I have this in my notes. The first drive.
Yep.
It was four plays. And John Madden, he was surprised right away. The first play, 13 yards to Toomer.
Yep.
Next play, 9 yards to Toomer. All through the air. Then they run a three-yard run with number 21.
Yep.
We're not going to mention his name. And then right from there, 46-yard touchdown, Ike Hilliard.
Yep.
They came out gunslinging.
Can I say something?
Of course you can.
So, Snacks and I agreed that we're going to do our awards just sporadically as they come up.
Yes.
We're not going to have a segment at the end. Sporadically as they come up.
Which we did last year for the games that we watched.
It takes too much time.
It takes too much time.
So, what we did on Bleeding Blue, when I did it with David Powis, is we did who gets the game ball and then the giant shithead of the week.
Yes.
And then plus I also have some other funny awards too. You know who's getting my game ball?
Monty Toomer.
Yes, wow.
Yeah.
You want to know why? It's a surprising pick, because Ike Hilliard had a much better statistical game.
He did. You can wait till you hear who my game ball is. It doesn't even make sense, but.
But why does Amani Toomer get the game ball?
Because even John Madden said it on the broadcast. Amani Toomer was banged up all week, didn't even practice.
Couldn't move.
He could barely move. And that first drive, when he caught the first two passes, Madden's like, I'm surprised Amani Toomer's even out there. He's productive. He's getting open. He's running his routes like he normally does. This is a total shock to me, Pat. Blah, 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 blah. And he was a mainstay, and he was the glue.
Yeah, most of the production came in the first half, where yes. I hate to be doing this, but because Victor Cruz's 2011 NFC Championship game is on another level.
Right, it is.
But
and Plaxico Burress.
And Plaxico Burress 2007 as well. But most of the production for Cruz and Toomer were in the first half. Well, mm-hmm. That's pretty much with everybody.
Yeah.
But most of the production that they had were in the first half. And the plays that Toomer made, like Ike Hilliard had two scores this game. But and over 100 yards, but the plays that Toomer made to move the chains and to get them in plus territory, to put points on the board, that's what I thought was important, especially considering that the dude could barely move. Have you ever seen a game, and this is just with all wide receivers in general, have you ever seen a game where guys have been this wide open, just running out routes?
No,
it's crazy.
It's funny in rewatching it, and I rewatched it twice.
Wide open.
Everybody was open. At all times, there was always somebody open. And the offensive line that consisted of Lomas Brown, Glenn Parker, Dusty Ziegler, Ron Stone, and Luke Pettigrew, mm-hmm. Collins, he had all day to throw, all yep. game long. It was, you know what? The Vikings didn't even show up, honestly.
No.
And after the first touchdown, I think this is when the game was over.
Yeah.
The ensuing kickoff, the Giants kick off to the Vikings, and the guy boots the ball. They go down, he boots the ball, and there's a scrum. And you could see it. I don't know if we're going to put it up.
I am putting it up on the screen right now. It is a 20.
It's hysterical.
It's a 21-second brawl.
Yeah.
From when he drops the kick and from when I guess the first guy gets there. A 21-second brawl of guys just diving on top yep. and throwing punches.
Right. It's crazy.
This was an intense game just in general, too. I was surprised from the moment. Like, guys weren't really. It wasn't no fights, but they were really chippy the start from two teams that I'm sure didn't really have much.
I was going to say, there's
common.
Not much history there.
No, yeah. Giants, Vikings. Yeah. I mean, there's not much history outside there. Of the history of Eli Manning throwing seven.
Oh,
receptions.
Relax. You tell me not to be. We don't think about the negatives, and you pull out that
me.
Bullshit.
That scars me.
Yeah, fucking idiot. Excuse my language.
So there was a 21.
Get the fuck counter up,
and then one play later.
Well, listen. So I want just real quick. I want when the referee emphatically goes Giants
yes.
ball, and the I truly believe, and it's a coin flip between Dixon's opening kick return in the divisional round against Philly the week before, or when he goes like this and it's Giants ball. I think that's the loudest Giants Stadium ever was.
Mm-hmm.
I remember it distinctly because I mean I'm young and everybody's standing and I couldn't really see.
Yeah.
So it's like,
were you a stand on top of the chair kid when everybody else was
standing?
Of course
I was.
I was a stand on top
of
the chair
kid. And it's funny because my dad goes, get uh-huh. on the chair. Because I couldn't see and he didn't want to pick me up because he's a lazy fuck. But counter it. And when he went like this, the place, everybody's like hugging and jumping on each other. And the next play, a pass from Kerry Collins to my MVP of the game.
He's getting your game ball?
Greg Kamella. Game ball. Yep. Greg Kamella. I have a soft spot for Greg Kamella.
Tell me why.
My mother's name is Carmella.
Mm-hmm.
Carmella. His name was Camilla. And he had, to this day, I don't think Greg Camilla has ever slept a day in his life.
No?
You look at him, he's got bags down in his fucking cheeks.
We just took a picture for Twitter. And
pull up a picture of Greg Camilla.
I'll pull up a picture of Greg Camilla.
He's got bags
down
in his
cheeks.
Do I
look like him?
No.
All right.
You look like shit.
So you could look a man?
Not really. He's just like an average, I shouldn't say that. I'm like trying to picture his face right now, and I'm going to open up a can of worms. I'm not going to do it.
That was his first career touchdown.
Yes, it was. And they tried, and you know what's funny? Later in the game, we're not even going to get to it. We're not going to talk about it. They tried the same route.
Yeah, pattern. It was a wheel route.
The wheel route. The same thing. And he's a fullback, number 34, Greg Camilla.
Running a wheel route.
And they tried the same thing, and it was there, but it was a little overthrown, and he couldn't hold on to it. But yeah, so my game ball goes to Greg Camilla simply because my mother's name was Carmella, and I always had a soft spot for Greg Camilla. And seeing him get his first touchdown, which, honestly, I mean, the game-winning touchdown was Ike Hilliard's 2 minutes into the game.
Yeah.
Because they didn't score a point. But I think that touchdown deflated the Vikings, and it was game over. That was it. Game
That's
over.
A fullback who
yeah.
contorts his body. It was Crazy. A great catch Great, great catch. I mean, for a guy that has never scored a touchdown in his NFL career.
And hell of an athletic
player. You would think, based off of this game, because he was targeted a few times in this game.
He was.
You would think that he was a part of the offense. And from my understanding, he wasn't necessarily like...
No.
So I have an award to give.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to give the Greg Kmela Award. Who gets the Greg Kmela Award?
What, somebody that does nothing and then does something?
No, Kyle Juszczyk.
Yeah.
That's who gets the Greg Kmela Award. Because that's what he looks like. You know, Juszczyk's like involved in the 49ers. He's like a staple of the offense. This game, Greg Kmela looked like
Kyle Juszczyk.
Kyle Juszczyk, yeah. Except 20 years before.
20 years before, yeah. So Greg Kmela laid the groundwork for Kyle Juszczyk.
Yeah. There you go.
Love you, Greg.
I mean,
can we interview Greg?
That's a stretch as a Giants history show, because you could say that guy from Tampa Bay, whoever that fullback was from
Mike
Tampa
Allstott?
Bay. Yeah.
He was more of a running back, though. He was always.
All right. So then I feel better about that take, though.
Yes, it's a good take.
Even though it was one game and
it's a good take.
We're going to act like that was his entire career.
Oh, no. I mean, Greg Kmela, I don't know why Greg Kmela's not in the Ring of Honor. That's a hot take.
We should make a push for that. How long was he a Giant?
A couple years.
We'll make a push for that.
Whatever. You know, he deserves it.
You know he's a good-looking man? Because I asked you if Greg Kmela was a good-looking man.
Let me guess.
Go ahead, guess. Another fullback.
Henry Hynoski.
No, I mean, no, he's not really a good-looking man.
His wife is.
Jim Finn.
Well, not a man, but she's a woman.
Jim Finn. Good-looking man.
Hey, interesting story.
Yeah.
Oh, I probably shouldn't say this on the camera. I don't think she watches, though. My old high school gym teacher went to prom.
Yeah, don't think she watches.
Yeah, went to prom with Jim Finn.
Really?
Yes. Bergen Catholic.
Fun.
Fuck Jim Finn.
Vikings offense doesn't step onto the field till the game's 14-0.
Crazy. Crazy, isn't it? And you know what's funny? When they do step on, they were driving. The first play, they run a play to Moss, and there's a tripping call on Seahorn, 15 extra yards.
Yep.
They're already in Giants territory.
Yep.
Then there's an illegal shift, and then blah, 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 blah.
They eventually pin the Giants down at the 2.
They do. Like it fucking mattered.
And what's really great about this Air Force attack that Sean Payton and Kerry Collins had, and, you know, they talked about it with the broadcast and Madden. They literally told everybody, we're going to throw the ball. They're down at the 2-yard line. First play, 15 to 20-yard completion to Amani Toomer. Runs a little double move on the sideline, and again, wide open.
Yep. Why yeah, not? They
stuck with it.
It's crazy too. But then they got into a 3rd and 13.
Yeah,
and the things could have, you know, the Vikings could have picked up some momentum here. Then on 3rd and 13, he throws a 15-yard out to Ike Hilliard, and then that, you know, then they just go down. So,
and these cornerbacks, they weren't playing press.
No,
where the guys are running double moves and then boom, separation, a guy trips, whatever, and then that's the completion.
No, these guys were just
on the tumor play. First play of that drive, the quarterback was playing 10 yards off the ball.
Yeah,
I don't understand how they get so wide open.
You would think after the first drive where they literally just did whatever they want, maybe you switch it up and play some press coverage. No,
I mean, I like the approach of playing off if a team's going to throw the ball downfield, but then, because I mean, Ike Hilliard, the first touchdown of the game, it was a seam route.
Yes.
And cornerback was playing outside, so then Hilliard just went inside. So I don't mind playing off if the team's going to throw deep, but just to still get beat like that, I mean, that's bad. That's bad corner play.
Yeah, no, it's not good. Well, the Vikings were not known for their defense. They had a good defensive line, but their secondary wasn't great. And but on this possession where we got pinned down, Kerry Collins threw an interception.
That is true. This is true.
And we have a shithead.
Do we share the same Giant shithead?
We do. Because there's only one shithead of this game.
And who is it?
Ron Dayne. Piece of fucking shit from Wisconsin.
He looks like such a
doofus. He disgraced the number 27. Thank God Jacobs brought it back to life.
He looked like such a doofus this game.
Okay, so let's bring up the point about Madden.
Yeah. He was like, Ron Dayne can't run the ball. He especially was saying how Ron Dayne can't run the ball, especially outside the tackles.
Yes.
But Madden was making like, probably something that I would do as a broadcaster would just make like subtle hits to a professional subtle hits to a player that he stinks. John Madden did that about Ron Dayne.
Yeah. Yeah. Without flat out saying he sucks, that's what John Madden
did. He's slow. He has to run in the tackles. So Ron Dayne, I think the ball is tipped by a defensive lineman on the interception, but still,
Look how stupid he looks.
Ron Dayne had an opportunity to still catch the ball. The ball goes right through his hands, and it bounces off his face mask, and he just looks like a doofus. And also, really, the main reason why he gets the shithead is he had a clear opportunity to score a touchdown. He has a false start as a running back. on the goal line where he could have scored a touchdown. God,
what
in
a
an
disaster
NFC
Ron Dane was. Holy shit.
So he gets our
he gets our shithead of this game. But yeah, so the Vikings have the ball and they're driving again. Like,
well, can I make another Madden? We're talking about Madden.
Oh yes, yes. You didn't bring up the run pass.
Yeah, So this is at the around the point in the game where he makes the Bill Walsh would establish the pass to open up the running game in the second half.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
And I mean, every team is different. One of the things that I've learned about like just football in general this year is every team is different. You know, not every team is going to be Josh Allen and the Kansas City Chiefs, who are going to be passing the ball 66% of the time.
Well, Patrick Mahomes is on the Chiefs, but yeah, I get it.
What did you say?
Well, Patrick Mahomes is on the Chiefs.
What did I say?
Josh Allen.
Well, yes, that's why I said every team is different.
I know, I'm busting your chops.
So that's, you know, Daniel Jones is not those guys, and no, largely 75%, 85% of the NFL isn't Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes.
Correct.
You know.
Joe Burrow.
Add him to the mix.
Love him.
But really, I still do believe that explosive plays and setting up an efficient early game passing, especially it's just getting a lead. The NFL is just such an important thing. Now, it didn't necessarily open up the running game this game because they didn't need to. Right. So I love how John Madden had that point.
Yeah.
Bill Walsh would establish the passer. Now, I'm not saying, John, I very much do believe that John Madden has said thousands and thousands of times that he loves running the ball and that he believes in running the ball. This isn't me saying that.
Yeah.
But no, I just loved how forward thinking that was in the year 2000 about how getting an early lead, getting those explosive plays on the table, and then boom, you get less guys in the box. That's the main thing about the NFL. We're running the ball. It's about just matchups because you have very few teams have those quarterbacks, but also very few teams have the offensive lines that if there's 8+ guys in the box that they can still just run the ball.
Right.
That's also a very tough test, and the Giants know that. You know, even if there's 6 guys in the fucking box, can't run the ball.
Well, if there's one guy in the box, they can't. Yes. But yeah, and Madden points out, he goes, he loved what Sean Payton was doing, even though the play resulted in an interception. He said, when Tiki's in there, the defense is going to key in on the pass.
Yeah.
When Dane's in there, they know it's a run.
Yeah.
So what they try to do is switch it up, and they run a little out screen to Ron Dane. And Madden says it. He goes, I like the forward thinking of Sean Payton, offensive coordinator, and I agree.
Even though those plays resulted in, like, 2 yards.
Correct. Yes. Yes. But at least it's keeping the defense on their toes.
Yeah, it keeps the defense on their toes.
So, yeah. So after that, the Vikings, they get the ball, and they're driving again, and Dante Culpepper.
I have a question to ask you, though.
Sure.
So we're at a point in the game where
14-0.
No points really, not a lot of points scored in the second quarter.
Yeah, not much. 10. Yeah.
10. Yeah. We're at a point in the game where not a lot of movement on the Giants offense. So before we talk about the defense and some standouts,
we have to say so, yeah.
Who, in your opinion, who in your mind gets more credit for their performance and for the win of this game? Giants offense or Giants defense for holding them to 0 points?
Okay, so this is a great question. I'm going to go with the offense because I think the offense took all the air out of the Vikings. I genuinely think they quit.
Yep.
I genuinely think they quit. I think the defense
14-0, you don't get the ball till then?
I truly think that the defense was put in the most unbelievable position you could ask for, especially in an NFC championship game, thanks to the offense. And yes, the special teams turnover, but it's 14-0 in 2 minutes.
But it's also special teams did help, but it's also the offense. I mean, how many times have we seen as, you know, just the Giants today, them get a turnover, something good that happens, and then they're in the red zone, and then but it winds up in a field
goal. Oh, okay, yeah.
You know,
they scored touchdowns.
They went for the jugular. With that Greg Camella play, they went for the jugular.
Yes, they did.
And that's what I love. So you take control of the game. Don't just play to, you know, playing to win versus playing to not lose.
Yes, right? And you know what? I'm just going to say this because it really is a good point, like getting Greg Camella involved and switching up Tiki and Ron Dane in passing and running situations.
Yeah.
Game ball honoree goes to Sean Payton. What a game plan. What a game plan. Yep. As offensive, and I know Fossil is an offensive guy, but that was Sean Payton calling the plays. That was his game plan, and honorary game ball. That is incredible. Yep. And you know what? It's crazy to me that we had both those guys on our staff, and it's clear why Sean Payton is still, to this day, 21 years later, a great head coach.
So we're in the second quarter. You mentioned the Vikings were driving, right?
Yes.
Is Vikings this driving. An Emmanuel McDaniel
Emmanuel McDaniel. Dante Culpepper throws in a double coverage into the end zone, which doesn't make any sense at all. I don't know what and this is why I think they mailed it in. Mm-hmm. They mailed it in. And Emmanuel McDaniel, probably the best name in Giants history.
It's a fantastic name.
Emmanuel McDaniel.
He had 6 interceptions in 2000.
He was a good ball player. He wasn't like a lockdown corner, but he was a good ball player.
I think Madden mentioned that he was a slot corner. So you have Seahorn on the outside, Emmanuel McDaniel in the slot. And then who was number 41? Dave Thomas.
Dave Thomas. There we go.
Dave Thomas. I don't know if he was number 41. Is that a safety or a corner number?
That's a safety number. No, it could be.
Was
either.
Terrence Newman 41?
Yeah, he was a corner.
And Captain Munnerlyn, random corner who I just remembered.
Captain Munnerlyn.
Wow. He was on the Vikings.
Dominic Rogers Cromartie was 41.
41. Okay, so maybe it is a corner number. So Dave Thomas, I'm just going to go with that he's a corner. So he had those three corners in 2000. Yep. Jason Sehorn, Emmanuel McDaniel, Dave Thomas.
And, okay, so now we move on to the second quarter, and, you know, the Giants get the ball. Now it starts to get really boring. We're going to go into a little.
But this is where the defense stands out.
And this is where I wanted to point. Okay, so I forget the sideline reporter's name, but this is in the second quarter, and he's talking about Michael Barrow. Michael Barrow was a very good linebacker for the Giants. He was a tackling machine.
He got a sack.
He did get a sack. And the sideline reporter was talking about Michael Barrow writes his three laws of the game beforehand.
Found it to be hilarious.
Great. I think you have to help me out with the first one because...
So the three laws that he would write are about...
Defensive aggressive. Tackle, wrap up, explode through the back, and get to the ball, quote-unquote, no excuses.
Yeah.
Those were his three rules.
So what I want you to do now, Michael Barrow would have his three laws that he would write.
Yeah.
Every game, which I love that.
Yeah.
I wish that they were more intense. Like,
yeah, they're standard.
Like fucking
things.
Demolish somebody, take this guy's head off.
Yeah, kill them.
Yeah, that I wish. So I want you to write your three laws before every Giants game. That's what I want.
Before I watch a Giants game?
Yeah, that's what I want you to do from now on. I feel like that's a great.
I know my laws. I can tell you right now.
That's great for content.
Okay, I'll do it. Sure. Simple.
Because you feel like you're part of the game.
No, I don't feel it.
You are. Excuse me.
Fucking idiot.
So that's what I want you to do from now on.
Yeah, I will.
That's what I want you to do from now on.
Well, I got to wait fucking 8 months for the season to be over after September anyway. However.
Yeah. Keith Hamilton.
The hammer. The hammer.
Strongest man on the football
field. He is something. He really is.
This was one of the first games that I really watched from start to finish where he was involved.
Yeah.
And you've talked about how much you've loved him in the past. He led the team in sacks that year.
I know. It's crazy with Michael Strahan in his seventh year in his prime.
Yep.
And he led the team, which is crazy. 2000 was Michael Strahan's seventh year.
He played for 7 years.
He was drafted in 93, right? Yep. Yeah. That's crazy.
Can you imagine being, I'm gonna mention somebody else's name, and he, all right.
Do it.
How about this? I have another award.
Uh-oh.
Name me a Stevie Wonder song. The Very Superstitious Award.
Okay. There you go.
Very Superstitious Award. Who gets it?
Superstitious. On the Giants?
Think of the artist of the song Stevie Wonder.
Stevie Wonder's blind.
It's true. Who gets the award?
I'm missing something here.
Cedric Jones.
Wow, okay.
Do you remember how we talked about him last year?
We did, yep.
He's legally blind in one eye.
Yeah, that's right. Holy shit. That completely slipped my mind.
He had a sack, and he was a
productive ball player.
Well, here's the thing. There was, like, his first two or three-ish years, he was drafted in, like, the top 10 of the NFL draft. Then he didn't play for a couple years or just barely got involved. And then he had, like, two-ish productive seasons. And I think 2000 was it. He was done.
Yeah, I don't know if there was anything after
that. He was legally blind in one eye. And I think
That's crazy.
I think it was his right eye he was legally blind in. So he had to line up on the right side of the defense. So he could see out of his left eye.
Yeah, he couldn't.
And then do you remember how Michael Strahan, I think he was, like, three-ish. I think it was 1996. Cedric Jones was out of Oklahoma. And then Michael Strahan had to switch to the other side, and he did not like that.
Yeah.
Because this dude was legally blind in one eye, and he played football for the Giants.
It's crazy.
And he is considered, like, the biggest bust in history.
How can you be a bust when you got one eye that's blind? You can only see out of one eye.
Well, that's
a poor guy. Or maybe it's bad drafting.
Yeah, yeah. Let's also talk about all these Giants scouts that are coming out and making these Twitter accounts. Probably some of you bums that have called out the Giants today. You probably were part of the decision to draft Cedric Jones, who was legally blind in one eye.
Get off.
Yes, yeah, Steven Vergarosa.
I by the way, that's real quick. I don't believe any of those people.
Steve, I do. He's real.
Yes. The other ones, no. I don't.
Chris Pettit's burner account, Mustang lover. He quote tweeted me when I had my.
Do we
whole...
really think that's Chris Pettit?
No, it's not.
Thank you.
No, it's not.
Anyway, all right. I mean, there's really not.
You have any other awards to give out? I gave out my blind man award.
Yeah, let's. I'm trying to think of a word for underrated player of 2000 and especially okay. the game. Well, not really, but he caught a touchdown. Joe Jarvicious.
He had two catches this game.
Yes, one was a touchdown. 8 yard touchdown.
Two very good catches. One was like on a third down. It was a little bit of a juggling effort, yeah. I think.
Joe Jarvicious was a good ball player. Yeah, he was behind. He was the third option to Ike Hilliard, who, you know what?
Was it Dixon or Jarvicious?
I think Dixon was more of like the deep play guy because you saw in the beginning of the game, he threw an interception throwing to Dixon. Dixon was a home run hitter.
Yeah.
He was kind of like the what they wanted Tim Carter to be in 2004 or so.
I have another award. I just wrote it down.
Why didn't you tell me that you're giving out more than two awards?
Well, I
would have thought of shit.
When I texted you that we were
I can't be creative on a spot.
When I texted you that we were going to do awards, I was like, oh, then I thought of some. I think this was at like midnight. I wrote this down on like my bed on a Google Doc.
I was watching Family Feud.
Joe Jarvicious gets the 50 Cent Award. Do you want to know why?
I don't know. Why don't you tell me?
He had a 50% catch rate as a Giant.
There you go. Look at that. I like Joe Jarvicious. I did. There was also one press conference. He talked to the media once and I forget exactly what he said. And I was like, I really like this guy. And I always rooted for him. So I was really pumped that he caught that touchdown. I wanted to mention that. But you know what? I also want to talk. We never really talked about Ike Hilliard.
He had a good game.
He had a great game.
Very good game.
But he had a very good Giants career.
Talk
underrated
about
career.
Talk about.
I want to. Number 8, he's I'm trying to think of like a modern day comparison or like, you know, relatively recent. He doesn't get any love. Does Ike Hilliard get love ever? Is he ever posted like on the Giants it's Toomer, obviously, cuz Toomer's, you know, arguably the best receiver in Giants history. But Ike Hilliard was around and he put up great numbers for years.
Better than Steve Smith.
So that's an
unfair comparison.
I think he's better than Steve Smith.
Okay.
You disagree?
No, I...
Longevity, and I just...
Steve I'm waiting Smith, to hear you out.
I think longevity, Ike Hilliard does not get enough credit. He truly does not.
Well, Ike Hilliard leaving also left the door open for Plaxico Burress. That's also a talking point.
Yeah, that is true, and I would rather Plax obviously made more of an impact, but I see all these players that get promoted by the Giants, that get talked about the Giants on Giants Twitter and their personal pages. Even when it's his birthday... I don't know when it is. I have never once seen Ike Hilliard be talked about.
All right, put it out there.
I'm going to because I think I also have an Ike Hilliard jersey.
Really?
I do, yeah.
Wow.
I liked Ike. It doesn't make sense to me. He was a productive, he was a very good wide receiver for the Giants. Yeah. He was a perfect complimentary receiver to Imani Toomer for years. Yep. For years.
Yeah.
And he just doesn't get any love. They still celebrate Steve Smith.
They do.
That motherfucker went to the Eagles.
He
killed
him. He went to the Bucks.
The fucking the Bucks or the Eagles? Which is worse?
Eagles.
And yes, I get it. Steve Smith was extremely integral in a Super Bowl win in the greatest Super Bowl ever. But Ike Hilliard was around for a long time, put up very good numbers. He just not get enough credit. And I'm gonna start talking about this more. You know what? I'm gonna make an Ike Hilliard highlight video.
That's what I was thinking of. Yeah. Like, put it out there.
I'm gonna start
it.
Talking more about Ike Hilliard.
Do it. All right. So I have some other just clip.
That's
notes.
My underrated Giants Twitter's piece of shit for not talking about Ike Hilliard more. Award goes to Ike Hilliard.
Good. I want to have some cliff notes, and then I want to ask you one question. Then we're wrapping up.
Beautiful. Oh, by the way, Brad Dalyuso, greatest Italian kicker of all time.
Michael Strahan. Impeccable time. I've never seen somebody, even Michael Barrow had a few of these snaps too, where they were timing the snap count perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
All game.
They were on him. Yeah.
All game. So that's something about Michael Strahan, just to see his quickness and to see Strahan. Like, again, there weren't really a lot of games. I've watched a decent amount of 80s and early 90s games with, like, you know, Sims and Taylor, Carson, and stuff like that. But to see Michael Strahan work in his prime, phenomenal. Was absolutely awesome.
Yeah, it was a work of art.
Jesse
Armstead, yeah.
Just phenomenal tackler. And to see how difficult it was from in that 4-3 system, because being an outside linebacker in a 3-4 system, you're an edge rusher. Mm-hmm. It's a lot easier to have the production, whether it's the sacks, the tackles for loss. But this, to see the production that he had from the outside linebacker spot in that 4-3, whether it was getting after the quarterback, whether it was just making tackles out there, John Madden talked about it all broadcast, about his ability to make tackles out in space.
And yeah, John was, very tough. And we love Jesse Armstead because why? Besides him being a great player.
He owns a car dealership.
Well, besides that too.
Why?
Wasn't he an eighth round pick?
This is true.
when they had eight rounds.
What I thought of when Michael Barrow makes his three laws, I thought of Jesse Armstead's list. And he crosses off a name every single time a player retires or leaves the NFL that was drafted in front of him. He would cross out a name.
It's crazy. Now this is gonna be a stupid question. Is he in the Ring of Honor?
Yes.
He is, right? Yeah.
He has to be.
I figured. Maybe I wasn't there. That's probably why.
Dave Thomas had a really good hit. I'm putting it up on the screen right now.
Dave Thomas. Boom. Wow, look at that hit.
I have a question.
Yes. What's your question? And real quick, before you get to that question, just because his son is a stupid piece of shit, and I hope he sells the team, but they looked at the owner of the Vikings when it was, I think it was like 31-0 or something like that, and he's like so miserable. Mm-hmm. And then they went over to Wellington Mara, who was sitting with, at the time, New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani. And Wellington's face, he's just bubbling, smiling. And I wrote, like, seeing Wellington Mara happy and smiling, and I wrote a little heart after they showed Vikings owner pissed.
Yeah.
So wanted to just put that out there. What's your question, buddy?
One final question.
Yes. It's been a good app.
Matt Miller. Madden and Summerall.
Yes.
Were talking about Rondae Barber.
Fuck him.
And he was a free agent, apparently, after the 2000 season. Mm-hmm. And he was possibly linked to the Giants.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Would you have wanted Rondae Barber to come to the Giants and be a New York Giant?
At that time?
Yes.
Of course.
I think that would have been really cool.
Would have been sick. At the time, Rondae Barber was one of the best cornerbacks in football. Well, maybe not one of the best yet, but he was damn good.
It would have been dope.
And why? I thought we agreed not to mention his name.
I mentioned Rondae Barber.
No, you said the guy's name's brother. You said who his brother is.
Well, I mentioned it. You didn't. You may have some apologizing due to Tiki Barber. We'll get to that in another episode. All right. That's going to be an episode. That's first episode. 2000 NFC Championship game. That is actually how you ended every single episode last year.
I'm
going
to do it again.
You're going to do it again? Thanks for watching. Keep on bleeding blue and snacks.
Fuck Tiki Barber.
Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.